Oh, Shamila, could you just grab me a glass of water? Just make sure it's not too cold and not too hot either. It's just with this cold weather. And just give me one moment as well. Just most of you know, coming from Queensland, we get a bit cold, especially my feet. So might just, I don't know how you guys are going, but it's a little bit chilly up here. But I often start sweating a lot when I'm preaching, so on my top half, so I better... need to make sure I keep cool. No one will want to sit next to me or talk to me if I'm stinking afterwards. And how's the sound? Is that all right? I can hear myself. Can you give me any sort of effects, Mike? Make me sound more authoritative? Is that maybe? Oh, it's okay, Shamila. It will have to do. And you know, I've had a bit of a sore neck recently, so do you guys reckon you could... Oh, there we go. That sounds a bit better. I probably won't be able to turn my head over this way too much today, so just letting you know now. All right. Well, I think I'm ready to go. But the truth is that we live in a culture where it can often be all about me, making sure that I have what I want to make me feel as comfortable as I need to be. And sadly, this culture of all about me is actually also finding its way into the church, like we've seen here this morning, and into our own Christian lives. When we think about Christianity and our relationship with Jesus, we often think about Jesus and me. Jesus, do this for me, or Jesus did that for me, or I did this with Jesus, or the church should do this, or the church should do that, and the church should be meeting my needs. Now, obviously, this is a bit of an exaggeration. They're not even plugged in, so they're not working. But the truth is that for some of us, our relationship with Jesus struggles to go deeper because we become distracted or even focused on ourselves and what we believe Christianity and the church and a relationship with Jesus should be doing for us and our lives. And sadly, this culture has led to some common language appearing in the church now. With people who attend church, it's often you can hear, well, I would be at church on time if they started the service an hour later, or if they had an evening service. Or maybe it's, oh, I'd find it so much easier to praise God if we just sang only hymns, or if we only had contemporary music and a full band. And maybe it's now you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'd be able to concentrate on this sermon so much easier if the chair was just a bit more comfortable, if the church had heating as we're getting closer to these cold mornings. But then there's those who are also looking for a church and who appear and, oh, yes, we're just doing our church shopping at the moment. But, you know, the biggest problem is that we just can't find a church that meets our needs. And all of this is because of our consumer mindset that we have built into us through society. But don't worry, because this mindset isn't just a problem of the 21st century. It's been a problem throughout the ages. But it is becoming more prevalent as generations are going by. Today, we're going to be starting in John chapter 4, where Jesus has been talking with a Samaritan woman at the well. And before we jump in, he's just declared to this girl that he is the Messiah. He is the one who can give her eternal life. And then we find ourselves here where the disciples have just rocked up. They're marveling at what he was talking, that he was talking with a woman, but no one said anything. They didn't say, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" And then a little bit later on, in verse 31, it says, "Meanwhile, the disciples instead were urging him, saying, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' So the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him something to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his works.'" Here we see the disciples have just arrived halfway through Jesus ministering to this woman, Samaritan woman. And what's strange is pointed out in the passage is that the disciples didn't ask any questions about what was happening. The only thing that seemed to be on their mind was food. They'd just come from feeding the 5,000 and food was on their mind. And more importantly, which seemed like a good thing, is that they were concerned that their rabbi, their teacher, the leader of their group, also had food to eat. Yet, with this desire that they had in their heart, Jesus turns to them, and the answer he gives them probably almost knocked them for six, as they probably started questioning when Jesus said, "I already have food to eat that you do not know about." Jesus' disciples may be looking at each other, pondering, what is this food that he's talking about? Did Jesus get an Uber Eats while we were gone and it's arrived? And if it was the case, why didn't he wait for the disciples to get food together? But then we see at the end in verse 34 that Jesus straightens them out, where he said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." See, the disciples were focused on what they could consume. They realized that they needed energy so they could continue the work the Lord had put before them. But Jesus' focus was carrying out the plans that God had put before him, because that is the food that sustained him. The disciples focused on consuming, and Jesus focused on contributing. And this is the very part of Jesus' nature which is sadly the opposite to our own. We know that we are sinful people today, and one of the perks of being sinful is that we are preset with traits in our life that we don't even have to be taught. And one of those traits is selfishness. It's something that we are just born with. Doesn't matter what we do, we don't learn it, we don't teach it, yet everyone here knows how to do it perfectly well. But from this passage, we see that Jesus shows us that he was called to a different mind, called to a different way of thinking. He wasn't called to focus on himself. He was called to be thinking of others and not of himself. And so, as followers of Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian today, we are called to follow Jesus' example. And so we need to shift our mindset from thinking away from this spiritual consumerism mindset that we have in the church and focus on becoming spiritual contributors. Because we are not spiritual consumers, we are spiritual contributors. But how do you know if you are a spiritual consumer, if you're a consumer or a contributor? Well, I just wanted to do a little bit of an exercise this morning, just to give you an idea. This is no statistics behind this, but this is just to provoke a little bit of thought in our minds about where we might be at. So we've got contributor on this side at number 10 and consumer on the other side. And so maybe you might be someone who has the mindset that you come to church and you're always thinking about what should the church be doing for you. You're not thinking about how you can serve, but rather you're thinking how the church can serve you. And maybe even right now, you're sitting in the pew and you're thinking, oh, I just can't wait for this service to end so I can get a free, beautiful espresso coffee, have a biscuit and chat and catch up. And so you don't really have any interest of serving anywhere or getting involved. Maybe you don't even give to the church financially. You just come and then you leave. And often when you leave, you're thinking about, oh, well, if the church had a bigger sound system, it would have been better to worship. Or if the pews were different colours or the curtain. And all you're thinking is about what could have been done better. You might be closer to this end, maybe in the 2 to 4 scale on the consumer side. Or maybe you come along and you help out every now and again when there's a bit of need. Maybe you fill in on the door or on the coffee roster, whatever it might be. And you tithe every few months when at least you can remember to do it. And you did once do that short-term mission trip a few years ago. And you're pretty good at inviting people to an Easter and a Christmas service, those special events of the year, and maybe that would put you somewhere, not saying I'm in the middle, but somewhere in the middle, in a 4 to 7 sort of area. But then we've got those down the 7 to 9 area who you come to church regularly, you're always involved in serving, you're looking for those gaps that you see in the church where you might be able to help out. And on top of that, you're always inviting people. You run into someone in the street and you start chatting and you invite them along to church. You're supportive of the events that happen here inside the church, but also reaching out into the community. Now, remember that this is just a scale, and this is an example to get us to think and to consider where you might place yourself on this scale, on the consumer, spiritually consuming, or are you spiritually contributing? And today, I believe if we can shift our mindset from that consumer style towards a contributor style, we'll be able to see incredible growth in the church and in our own lives as well. But how can we do that? How can we move from one end to the other? Because that is the option. We can go backwards and we can go forwards. And I want to look at 2 simple points this morning that I believe can help us move towards the contributor mindset, spiritually contributing. And the first one is that God calls us to serve in His church. So often when we hear the words His church, we often tend to think of the thing that is surrounding us right now, the church building. Or maybe we often think of the ministries that come out of this church. That is His church. And when we think that way about the church, we can often lose sight of what it means to serve as in His church. Because when we think about His church as people, instead of a building or just ministries that are happening, it changes the way that we serve. Because it means that you no longer have to come here to Lighthouse Community Church to be able to serve God. Because the truth is that the church doesn't exist for us who come here on a Sunday. Rather, the church, us as the people, exist for the world to go out. When we start thinking that the church is people and not the building, it will help us shift that mindset towards being contributors. And when our mindset starts to shift, though, the one thing that commonly happens, when we start contributing to the work of God's kingdom here, the devil loves to spring into action. Because reality is, he would love to see a church full, this church building full of people who are just sitting and being idle, just warming the pews, thinking that they're being good Christians because they come here on a Sunday and they go home. And that is the devil's goal. He wants to distract us with the things that we think that we're doing for God when we're not. And many of you have probably experienced the challenges that it is for us as Christians. When we come to church, we might have that little whisper that you hear in the ear that says, you don't need to serve. There's already people doing what you're good at anyway. Or there's enough people on the worship team. Or your gift actually wouldn't be appreciated here anyway, so don't do that. Or you're not even good enough to serve in the areas that are in need. But in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, that Thomas read in more expanse for us, it says this, a reason that there is no excuse for any of us not to serve God. And in particular, I've chosen the NLT translation because I just love how it translates verse 6 here, where it says, in his grace, God has given us, each one of us here, different gifts for doing certain things well. Every one of us here this morning, we are unique. We have different talents and gifts. And there's things that I can do well that maybe you can't do well. And there's things that you can do well that I know I can't do well. And Paul goes on and he expands. He gives some examples. And he says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so my question to you is, what are your giftings? You know your giftings. When me and Colin took on the roles as pastors here at the church, we got some information about the church, but we didn't get a list of all your names and all the gifts that you have. So we go, oh yeah, we'll get Pat to do this and David can do that. No, we only know the giftings that you have through what you have shared with us and what has been revealed through your work in the church. And so think about, what are your giftings? And then secondly, think about, are you using these giftings to serve the church? Because Paul has made it clear here that you should not think that your gifts are insignificant, whatever it might be, because God can use anything for his glory. And to illustrate this, I've got a beautiful story that I want to share of a young girl that we had at our church at Aldinga Bay Baptist. Before I was a committed Christian, I was just going through youth ministry, finishing school, and I was getting more involved in church. And I remember this girl, she was in about grade 4 or 5 at the time. And she had such a heart to serve in the church. She was interested in getting involved in singing, so she would come early in the morning with her mum and participate in singing. She also loved helping us. We had to pack up the church every Sunday because we're in a school gymnasium. She was there helping stack chairs. And these are things that many of us can do. They're not a special gifting. But to show you how much God can use the simplest gifts, the one thing that stood out about this girl to me the most was that she was raising money for girls that were caught in the sex trade industry through a group called Destiny Rescue that you might have heard of. And the way that she was raising money for this group was she was making Lumi band jewellery. Now, you probably have, anyone has an idea what Lumi band jewellery is? Yeah, a few people. All it simply is rubber bands that are threaded together to make all sorts of things like bracelets, keychains. It's really amazing what you can make out of it. But she would spend her time after school going home and making key rings, making little flowers, and that she would then come to church and go to people in her community. And she would sell these to raise money to give to Destiny Rescue. Such a simple talent that any of us here could probably learn to do. Yet she was using this talent to serve as her part in the church. See, God has given every single one of us gifts, whether it's teaching, serving, encouraging, giving, leading, kindness, or prophecy. And because God has given us these gifts in our life, that means he's also given you a purpose to use those gifts for. And so, are you using your gifts for selfish reasons? Are you using them with a consumer mindset? Or are you contributing to the church, to God's church? We all have a gift to be used for His glory. And I want to encourage you, as I mentioned, we don't know your gifts here as the pastors. So come and tell us. If you feel that God has gifted you in a certain area, come and speak to Colin, myself, or the elders, as we would love to help facilitate God's name be glorified through your gift. And so we've seen the first one, is God calls us to serve in His church. And secondly, the second point for this morning is God calls us to serve as His church. We see in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Just such a beautiful and timely reminder that we, the church, all of us here this morning, we are called to be a light to the world. God has called us to shine to those around us through our good deeds, through our gifts and our talents. When we do good deeds, then people around us will see those works and glorify God. But hear me clearly, because I'm not saying that we are doing these good deeds in order to earn or increase our salvation, because that is not the case at all. Rather, it's the opposite. It's because of our salvation, because of what Christ did on the cross for us, that we are encouraged and led to want to do good works as the church, to be that light to the world. But how do we shine that light through our good works? Because I'm sure many of you here do good works for people that you come interact with. And it was just amazing just this morning when I was driving down here, I was listening to Life FM, and there was a pastor from a church up in Queensland sharing how he came to faith. And one of the things that he said is, there was a friend of his who was his family were Christian, he wasn't, and just through spending time with his family, going away on camps, and just the way that they were living, led him to start asking questions about why are these people so different. He knew they were Christian, but he didn't believe what they believed. But over that connection and that relationship, he just couldn't understand why. There was nothing that he could explain about this family that were different from him apart from their faith in Jesus. And that's the same for us. When we are serving others, when we are shining God's light to the people around us through our good deeds, our gifts and our talents, it's when people start to ask questions. They ask questions like, "Why do you love me the way that I am right now, in the state that I am? How can you give this to me when I have done nothing for you at all? Why do you serve the people here when you don't even know them? They're complete strangers. Why do you care about those people and their well-being?" And it's when questions like these are raised that God gives us that opportunity to shine that light and to share why we do what we do, to share about the impact that God has made on our life, the fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for me, for you, for our sins, when we were strangers and enemies to Him. And this is the reason, because of what Jesus did for us, that compels us to want to serve and give the glory back to Him. And so think about your life this week. How many people from the life and the way that you live this week would know that you are a follower of Jesus? From the things that you did and the way that you lived. And I mean, today we've God, a prime example of a way that we can live to serve the community with the basketball ministry. We've got people right now who are down on the courts, spending time with children and chatting with families, showing their love to them, God's love. But on top of that, it can go further from serving the community by scoring in the basketball games on Saturday, or coaching, getting involved in coaching, or even showing God's love by going and spectating people that we don't know. We don't know these families, but we can still show God's love. Or maybe it might look like practicing generosity. It could be generosity with your time. Maybe you're heading somewhere and you see someone at church or someone that you've made a connection with, and you're like, oh, I'm really heading this direction. But just taking that time and being generous and chatting, asking how they're going. Or maybe it could be with resources financially or with the talents that you have. Using these things to bless others that we come into contact with. Another example that we have here at the church is Brighton Light. An incredible opportunity. People from the community coming into the church. All you need to do is come and sit and chat. And actually, one of the things I put down is actually come and be bad at craft. If you're not good at craft, it gives you an opportunity for the people in the groups to go, oh, well, let me show you how to do that. Oh, well, here's a better way of doing this. And that then leads into an opportunity for deeper connection. And that is the same for, I'm sure, many of you and myself. I try to have intentional relationships. Maybe it's with a barber or a hairdresser. Go to the same one again and again. So when you're getting your hair cut, you can talk to them. You can ask how their life is going. And we did this with our mechanic, and they're going through the expansion of South Road, and they're really struggling finding somewhere to move their business to. And I was able to tell them, I'm praying for you. And then they were sharing that they've come from a faith background and haven't really been involved as much anymore and probably should be. I know for many of you, maybe it's your doctor. You see a regular doctor. You can spend time with them. You can hear and ask questions about their life. How are we doing this as Lighthouse Community Church? How are we doing in regards to being spiritual consumers over spiritual contributors? If we were doing church how God had originally intended, we would see people giving more than they received. We would see people serving more than they have been served, and people loving more than they have been loved. And ultimately, we would not be judging people outside the church. Instead, our love would be flowing out and bringing them into the family of God. If we are all using our individual gifts to carry out what God has planned for us, individually and serving as a church, it would look actually like this, as it did in Acts chapter 4, verse 33 to 35, where it says, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and bought the proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each that had any need." We would be a light to the world. People might not understand what we believe, but they would look at us as the church and know that whatever it is that we believe in is real, and it has impacted our lives by the way we serve one another. And I just came across this song that I just wanted to share to finish off the service. It's by Casting Crowns. Some of you might know. It's called Nobody. And a song, and I just wanted to, I'm going to play it in a moment. Sorry, not yet, William. But the verse one says, it goes like this. It says, "Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line. with all the other not quite rights, with all the never get it rights. But it turns out we're the ones you've been looking for all this time. And then the chorus goes on, and I think this is just the echo that should come out of our church, is because I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. And then it says, I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. So we're just going to play this song now. Just sit and reflect on the song.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus.
'Cause I'm just a nobody,
nobody.
Trying to tell somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus.
You might be here today and you might think that you are a nobody and that your gifts aren't going to be used for anything. But the truth is, as the song said, we all have a purpose. We all have a role to play. And the truth is as well that we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. And the church doesn't exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace, Lord, and your goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank you that even when we look at ourselves and we hear the whispers from the devil saying that your talents are no good here, no one would care if you weren't here. There are other people already doing what you do. That the truth is that every talent that you have given us, Lord, has also come with a purpose to glorify your name. And so, Lord, I pray for us as a church here at Lighthouse. We pray, Lord, that as people walk past here on a Sunday, as people who interact with us during the week come along to our different ministries, Lord, that they would just notice something different about us, about the way we serve, the way we love, and the way that we live, Lord. And even though they might not completely understand what it means to have faith in you, Lord, they would see that it's real and that they would want to ask questions and to learn more about you, Lord. So I just thank you for that, Lord, and pray that you would go before us into this week and help us to just be focused on contributing to the work of your kingdom here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.